Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
It's a Friday. I feel that. I can feel it down in my bones. It's a Friday. We got a weekend coming. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Andy Griffin. Mello is over there. And Melody, hi. Oh, no. Pushing. You got buttons to push.
Is it working
there
now?
There you are. Woo! Yes, I can hear you. That's awesome. I'm glad you're on the air with us. We had some microphone problems last week, and I think we've got them all resolved and taken care of.
Thank you.
If you call, the first voice you'll hear will be the sweet voice of Mello Finlinson, and she will be really nice to you, but she will ask you some very pointed questions like, why are you calling? What do you want to talk about?
And that kind of stuff. Funny, then I might let you through.
Sometimes a good call screener would weed out calls of people that are angry and mean. Sometimes she doesn't do that. Sometimes she's like, oh, this is good. Let's do it.
Makes for good radio.
And by the way, later on in the program, in maybe 20 minutes or so, we are going to be giving away some tickets. Now, I've been talking about this all week with the Casablanca Resort. They're doing like tribute bands. And this Saturday, tomorrow night, is a tribute to, it's called the Pure 80s Experience. And it'll be a band that specializes in U2 and Police songs. As part of that, with the tickets come free drinks and, ooh, we're not done yet. This is new. You get a free buffet for two tomorrow at Casablanca. So
all you can eat and drink.
The whole pack is worth like $100. That's a pretty cool price.
Depends on how much you eat.
Well, yeah. maybe more. You're right. But don't call now because we're not doing that just yet. We're going to give that away in a little while. All right. One of the reasons I like having Mello here is sometimes I can bring up some stuff that she doesn't know. No, don't call now. Somebody was calling. But I can bring up some stuff that Mello is not aware of and get her true, honest, first gut reaction to the stuff. All right. There's a story on 890kdxu.com. If you want to follow along, the story is called A Utah Murder Story Too Unbelievable to Be True, in parentheses, but it is.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. This happened up in the Tooele area. These are some of the facts, the established facts of the case, and then we'll get into some questions about it. All right, you ready, Mello?
I'm ready.
All right. On February 16th, so less than a month ago, a 9-year-old Tooele boy admits that he shot and killed his father with a 9mm handgun. It happened around 7 p.m., so it was in the evening. The gunshot wound was in the back of the head.
Oh, no.
The deceased 32-year-old victim, the kid's father, had dozens of hatchet wounds on his body. Authorities aren't sure, but they think the wounds were suffered after the victim had been shot, but before he passed away.
So this little boy was angry. It's getting
more and more bizarre. A bloody tomahawk-style hatchet was found under the bed of the deceased, a bed he shared with his father. Seven other people, mostly children, were in the home at the time of the attack. None of them heard anything, including the gunshots. They were only made aware of the crime when the boy exited the room and stated that his dad was bleeding from the head and was dead. He actually wasn't dead yet. He died later in the hospital.
No.
The victim and accused killer, according to the warrant, retired to bed early due to behavioral problems and went into the bedroom that they share. Medical officials said the hatchet wounds on the victim appeared to be defensive wounds, meaning the victim appeared to be trying to defend himself during the attack. The 9-year-old accused killer was reportedly extremely into video games, especially a newer version of a war game called Modern Warfare Warzone. And in that game, two of the commonly used weapons were 9mm handgun and a tomahawk-style hatchet.
Well, he did not produce those from his video games. Those were in his home. Those weapons.
Those were facts of the story. I have some questions, and we're going to get to those, but I want to get your questions first, having heard this for the very first time. What are your thoughts, Mello?
First of all, why is the boy sharing a bedroom with his dad?
Okay, that actually, yeah, that was one of the things that popped into my head. What's that all about?
Why were the weapons just...
Not just a bedroom, by the way, a bed with his dad.
Yes. And why were the weapons not secure? Mm-hmm. How did nobody hear a gunshot?
That was one of the big questions I had, too. A 9mm Glock is loud.
Yeah, and was there not another adult in the house?
Yeah, where's mom? That's another thing I was wondering, too.
And they said a lot of children, so why did this guy just have a lot of children? He's 32. I'm not great at math, so how old was that when that kid was born?
Well, he was 23 when the kid was born.
Right, 23, so yeah. Young dad. So
seven other people in the house at the time, and nobody heard anything.
They must all be playing video games, maybe.
I'm thinking about this. I'm like, okay. Even if, and they said, you know, I think five of the seven were under the age of 11, so the kids. But wouldn't they have, I mean, there had to be screaming, yelling. If he's been shot, he's dying, but he's fighting the guy off, the kid off who has a hatchet. How could they not hear anything?
Right. And he was shot in the back of the head. That's so sad.
Which means
so
he was
sad, maybe
asleep or he came up from behind and shot him. Or
maybe he was drunk and he was passed out.
I don't know. I
have so many questions. I feel really bad. And then I'm like, does this kid not have a lawyer? Like, not that he should be defended, but like to go ahead and give his whole statement like that.
The questions I had written in the story, Mello, where was the mom? Where did he get the gun? How did the child learn this behavior? This is, I think most people would agree, this is pretty extreme behavior for a 9-year-old child.
Yeah, and he got sent to his room, so he does have some behavior issues, or maybe he's picked on, and that's why he did it.
Why didn't anyone in the house hear anything? And then was the act in retaliation for some disciplinary measures? They mentioned they had both retired to the bedroom for behavioral reasons.
They both?
Yeah, they both went into the bedroom for the kid was in trouble for something. Now, I'm trying to connect the dots, and I can't, this is speculation, but if he played a lot of video games and he got sent to his room, I don't know if dad was in there to spank him or what, you know, I don't know. I mean, for all we know, it was just a drunk, abusive father who deserved to die, kind of.
Right, but does the dad live with his mom and dad? Is that why there were so many people in the house?
I don't know.
What answers do you have, Andy? I want to hear more answers.
There are no more answers. Oh. All that I gave you was from the arrest warrants. And credit to KSL did a lot of this groundwork to get a copy of these arrest warrants, but... it's just, you know, I mean, is there an indictment here about video games? Should we, you know, I talk about this in the article. I had a rule when my kids were young and playing these types of games. And the rule was, and I didn't let them play Call of Duty or any of those where you're killing other humans. I said, look, you're allowed to play a game where you kill things. If the things that you kill are monsters or aliens, I will not let you kill other people. And my boys were like, that is such a weird and stupid rule. But in my mind, for whatever silly, stupid reason, and maybe it wasn't silly and stupid, I don't know, you be the judge of that. But in my mind, there was a line I didn't want my boys to cross. Mm. And that line was, you don't kill people.
And that there's truth in that. I've never done that because my ex-husband was a big Halo fan and all those. My boys grew up playing those games with their dads. And then my son now, my youngest son, plays Fortnite. And I don't know if they kill real people or not. I really, like,
you kill
I have
other
never.
People in Fortnite. And in Halo, too. I mean, especially if you're playing multiplayer, your whole goal is to kill the other guy you're playing against.
Yeah, so I haven't had that rule, but I haven't thought about it in that context before. So I'm going to have to think about that.
It's definitely food for thought. It makes you kind of, and we're not talking about, I mean, this didn't happen in New York City or in Cleveland, Ohio, or in Miami, Florida. This happened in Utah, in Tooele, Utah, just, 300 miles from here.
That's crazy. Nine-year-old.
A nine-year-old, yeah.
That's crazy.
My biggest thoughts are, number one, this kid needed some more parenting. He should not have learned the behaviors that he exhibited, chopping at his dad with a hatchet, shooting his dad with a gun, are not acceptable behaviors. Not behaviors a 9-year-old should know.
Right, but I'm sure it didn't start with that. I'm sure he's been physical in other areas of his life, probably in school, probably with his siblings, probably with his parents before. I don't think it's the first offense.
We don't know. But we think, I agree with you. Yeah, I'm sure there were You know, when I was in, I think I was eighth, ninth grade, there was a kid, and his first name was Johnny. I'm not going to tell his last name because he's probably still around. But he was obsessed with guns and drawings of explosions and death and stuff like that. And but back then, I don't know, you never had the thought was never there that this would actually happen. So even though I felt like this Johnny kid was a little bit troubled, I also felt like, you know, he would grow out of it and that he would never act on those types of feelings. And he didn't. Nowadays, unfortunately, these kids, they have these feelings. Some kids have these feelings and thoughts, and then they act them out on a video game, and they play Call of Duty or one of the many war games or Halo. And I think at a certain point they go, you know, I could do this in real life. I could act this out in real life. And they become desensitized. I mean, some of the blood and gore in these games, it's really realistic. They used to have, when you'd buy a video game, this was, I would say, in the 90s, maybe the early 2020s, there would be on the settings, you could actually turn the gore off.
Okay.
So you were still killing people, but you could click a button and it would turn the blood and guts off. It would, you know, and so, you know, if you shot somebody, they would just fall over and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's necessarily that much better, but a little bit better. But now, I mean, I just think about that 9-year-old kid. He shot his dad. He's bleeding from the head, probably dying. And then he decides, well, he's not dead yet, so I'm going to take a hatchet to him.
I can't even, like, process that. That's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously the dad's life has changed. He's no longer here. The kid's life has changed. Everyone involved in that family, this is a traumatic experience that you can never completely overcome something like that.
Mm-mm.
Very sad.
Yeah.
So that story is incomplete. They still have, you know, trials. They still have, you know, evidence. They still have, and I'm sure that what KSL was able to acquire as far as the warrant and, you know, is a tip of the iceberg of what authorities actually know about this case. And so we're left to speculate. But this is a real story that's happening right now. This isn't make-believe.
Well, keep following up on that because I want to hear how that kind of keeps going.
Definitely. And speaking of following up, I also wrote a story on 890kdxu.com about that explosion. Do you remember that explosion? It happened about a year ago in Draper area. It was out, you know, as busy, as full as Salt Lake and Utah counties have become. There are still some areas that are kind of wilderness-ish. And out in the Draper-Bluffdale area, there was an explosion at 1 o'clock in the morning. People heard it, woke people up. There are Ring cameras that recorded the sound and the concussion of it, but no, because it was a kind of out away from stuff, nobody actually saw it. Some hikers went out and found the site. They also sent authorities out. They found the site of where it happened. There was a crater. It wasn't like, I mean, you think a big giant crater like a volcano. No, it wasn't a giant thing, but there was a blast crater, and there was shrapnel, metal shrapnel from the explosion in the area. So I decided to, I wrote a story about it a year ago. I decided to do a follow-up story, you know, yesterday about whatever happened and did they figure out what happened? Nothing. They never found out a single thing. They actually have asked Geneva Rock and Rocky Mountain Power and those in that area that may have some insight as to what actually happened. But nobody knows anything. Nothing has been found out. It's such a bizarre story. By the way, you probably heard the phone ring, and Mello is on the phone right now getting ready to take a caller. So, but I just thought that was bizarre. You know, sometimes, and, you know, being in the news business, and I've been in the news business for 30 years now, very rarely are follow-up stories really followed up on. You know, very rarely do follow-up stories do well, and that's why they don't follow up. People want to know what's happening right now and right here, and so when you do a follow-up story, nobody reads those. They're not very popular at all, Mello. So I hesitated to even do a follow-up story, but I thought, well, at least I'll look into this. But It's a reality of news. People want what's happening now, and they don't want to hear, you know, like we're talking about with the kid, you know, the 9-year-old kid and the murder. If we talk about this in 6 months when they've, you know, when all the truth has come out of what happened, people are going to be like, eh, so what? That was 6 months ago.
What about like the JonBenet case? Like people have been following that for 20 years and still trying to get new leads on it.
Yeah,
so.
But that's an outlier. That's an exception to the rule.
Okay.
Generally speaking, in the news business, people don't really care if you follow up much, especially, maybe if the follow-up is something scandalous, something else is scandalous about it, they might be interested in that. But if it's just a ho-hum follow-up, people like my follow on the explosion, nothing new has been found despite several agencies investigating. People are like, nothing new has been found.
Hey, and on the phone line, it's not coming through. Is it supposed to be producer or talent? It's just not coming. Like, I couldn't hear the person on the line. So I just want to make sure it's good before we start the giveaway. So we'll have to look at that in a minute on the break, maybe.
Yeah, I thought you had it down to a science. Yeah, I thought you were a professional.
I was, but you only let me come one day a week, so I'm not as much of a professional anymore.
No, don't blame me on that one. I try to get you every day. I'm just, unfortunately, not the guy who writes the checks.
There you go.
So. It's at 9:24 on KDXU. Let's talk about happiness a little bit. Mello, would you, if you were to rate your life right at this moment on a scale of 1 to 10, what would be your well, she's got to answer the phone. No, you're good. Okay. What would be the number on the scale of happiness in your life right this minute?
7.8.
Okay, not bad. That's a C+ though. Mm-hmm. If we're doing school grading.
I'm not good at those percentages.
7.8 is good. It's a weird question to ask. If I ask myself that question, I go, my health isn't as good as I would like it to be. I have an amazing wife. I have a beautiful home. I have a truck that I love. I have a grandkid. I mean, you know, most of my life is A+. Now, the health thing drags it down a little bit, so I'm going to go 8.5 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But do you know the happiest people in the whole world are in Finland?
What?
Wait, what? Finland? Why Finland? Well, that's actually the question I asked. So I have, and I can't, I have a relative. Let me just put it that. I have a relative who is progressive is a nice way to call it. Very, well, let me put it this way. She leans left. She loves the climate change topic. She calls it a climate emergency, whatever. And she tends to lean left on most political topics. Including the whole diversity and you know, how we all need to be more kind and woke and understanding when it comes to diversity. Well, she did a study for a college class that she had been in and found out that the happiest countries in the world were number one, Finland, number two, Sweden, and number three, Norway. Now, what do all those countries have in common besides being Scandinavian countries?
I don't know. Do they have free healthcare?
No, well, two of them do. But okay. The number one thing they have in common is a lack of diversity.
Oh.
They have no minorities or very few minorities. This troubled my woke sister a lot. She's like, wait a minute, how could... And she couldn't figure out how that could be. And it kind of brings to light, it kind of shines a flashlight on some of this, you know, America, we're trying to be understanding and non-racist and love each other and we do. I think we're doing a pretty good job of that. But it was really humbling, I think, for her and for a lot of us to know that actually diversity can be very divisive, can be very
right.
hard on society. And but I did look deeper into it. Besides being, not diverse, Finland has some other questions. Four phrases that reflect the way Finnish people talk and think about the word happiness. All right. Number one is, who has happiness? And if you do, you should hide it. Now, wait, what? That's okay. Let me read the paragraph. Shying away from overt expressions of happiness comes from the Finns' modest national temperament. The phrase was coined by Eino Leino, Finland's national poet. Finnish people tend to drive modest cars and live more restrained lifestyles, including clothing and material possessions. It's human nature, this is quoting this Leino guy, it's human nature to compare ourselves to others, which often has a negative effect on our happiness. However, in Finland and other Nordic countries, people tend to be more oblivious to those comparisons and therefore more content. They're not trying to keep up with the Joneses in Finland.
That does make a difference on your happiness.
It
I agree.
Absolutely does. And it's funny because you by trade are a realtor.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times realty is someone trying to get a bigger, better house so they can look bigger or better than their neighbor. And you know, I wonder how realty works in Finland.
I know. Isn't Finland, I don't know exactly, where does IKEA come from? Like what country?
I think that Norway, Sweden.
I think it's Sweden.
I think so.
Yeah, because they're all about like compartmentalizing, making things fit, having less things. So that makes sense.
All right. Phrase number two that reflects this attitude of happiness in Finland: the pessimist will never be disappointed. Think about that a minute. If you always think things are going to turn out bad and then they turn out good, then you're happy, right? Finnish people share the attitude of meliorism, the idea that everything is always capable of improvement. Accepting these inevitable struggles while focusing on what is still in your hands and can be improved will keep you active and energized even during tough times. So, yeah, if you always say, yeah, that's good, but it could be better, and then you make it better, then you're happy, right? That's one of their things, I guess.
Like a half-empty kind of thing? I don't know.
Okay, number three, everyone is the blacksmith of their own happiness. This is another popular saying in Finland, which points to one's individual responsibility to foster happiness in his own life. We need both our own effort and the support of our community to succeed. Interesting.
It sounded like it was saying different things. Say that again, because I heard one thing, and then when you said the community part, then I heard a different thing.
Well, he's talking about the fact that you need yourself, but you need your support network too. So
you need a support network, but your happiness depends on you
and your support network. Yeah. Okay. Number four, some have happiness, but everyone has summer. Now, I just met a guy, this Scotty guy from Alma Waterways. He lives in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how do you like Phoenix? And he goes, oh, I love it, man. We don't even have a winter. I mean, it is, you know, we might get, you know, down in the 60s in wintertime. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But it's 120 in summer. And then I got to thinking about it when I was reading this, and it says, you know, summer in Phoenix is awful. Winter is nice, but it's not really a big contrast. I guess what I'm saying is those that live in a place that have the four seasons, have fall with the leaves turning, have winter, and we do somewhat here. I mean, it's kind of a wintry kind of a day today, and then spring and then summer. I can see where that would add to your happiness a little bit, looking forward to what's coming.
Okay. I guess I can see that.
Yeah. Just a real quick quote on that from Ina. We Finns know that no matter the situation, you can always count on one thing. Sooner or later, summer will come to us all.
Mm.
Interesting. The Finns are happy. I had years ago when I was a missionary, I had a missionary companion from Finland. His name was Kullervo Reppo. And he came to, this was a Philadelphia mission, did not speak one word of English when he got here. And it was kind of fun. I got him, he'd been out maybe 8-9 months. So I got him so he was at least functioning speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a happy guy. He just was, you know, I mean, it was weird, but he took his own happiness seriously. And when you're a missionary and you're out there and you're giving your life away and serving others, which is good, sometimes you forget to take care of yourself. But Kullervo Reppo was a happy guy. One thing I remember about Reppo, when you're a missionary, things have changed now, but when you're a missionary, you're not supposed to talk on the phone to your family at all, like twice a year, I think. His parents would call him every single Sunday.
Aww.
And a few times when I would answer the phone, you know, hey, this is Elder Griffin from the church, you know, that kind of stuff. And they would start speaking. They didn't speak English. They would start speaking in Finnish. And then they would eventually say, Kuki, We want Cookie. They didn't want a cookie. That was his nickname. Aww. Kullervo, they called him Cookie.
How cute.
And so I'd go get Cookie, and he'd talk on the phone for an hour to his family back in Finland.
That's why he was happy. He wasn't lonely like everybody else. Yeah,
a happy guy.
Cute.
9:33 on KDXU. It's time to give away those tickets. Two tickets now to Mesquite.
I'm hoping the phone works. If it doesn't work, we're going to do it after the break.
Casablanca Resort is the location. Now, it's an 80s, they call it a true 80s experience. It is tomorrow night. Now, along with two tickets to the 80s experience, you get free drinks for the evening, no matter what kind of drink, whether you want a soft drink or you want coffee or if you drink alcohol, whatever. So free drinks also includes two buffets to the Casablanca Resort. This is a pretty cool giveaway. And if you want that, if you've a date night, I ought to take my wife. Yeah, go to a live concert and get some free food at Casablanca. Just give me a call right now. 673-5890. 673-5890. Mello will handle your call. And I'll tell you what, the free food is worth whatever you might want. 673-5890. We'll take a break. Let's check in with weather right now.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 937 on KDXU. Congratulations to Dallin. He is our winner of the two tickets to the Pure 80s Experience in Mesquite at Casablanca Resort. You'll also get free drinks for the night and a free buffet for two. How cool is that?
Awesome.
That is really cool. Yeah. Dallin W. We won't give his last name out because we don't want people mooching off of him.
Right. They can't go.
So we will give Dallin's information to Casablanca, and they will be in touch, and all will be wonderful at the Pure 80s Experience tomorrow night. That's cool. I love the 80s. Now, how old were you in the 80s, Mello?
I was born the end of 75.
Okay, so you were a little kid, mostly mm-hmm. in the early 80s when
right. All
the really great music happened.
I still remember like hitting record on my tape deck when the radio came on and try and get the song, and then the DJ keeps talking. I'm like
shut
talking,
up, man.
Quit talking. That's my song.
And I never did such a thing like that. Okay, maybe once or twice. You didn't want to or maybe couldn't afford to buy, especially if you're 9 or 10, you couldn't afford to buy an album of your favorite artist. So you would wait, you would sit by the tape recorder, wait for that song to come on. And then you had to push two buttons. You had to push play and record at the same time to get it to record off of the radio. And
And then boys would make me mix tapes, and I thought that was so special. Oh,
that's sweet.
Oh, yeah. Good old days.
I made my wife mix CDs a few times.
Oh, see, that's tender.
Yeah. So I missed out on the mixtape thing, but when we moved on to CDs.
A little easier.
Yeah. I mean, compact discs came into being really in the mid-80s. I was a missionary in Reading, Pennsylvania. And I remember walking along the streets, and this dude comes up to us. He's in a car. He comes, he kind of screeches up to the sidewalk where we were, and you're like, hey, elders, get in. And we're like, this is a little weird because we didn't know the guy. He's like, no, I'm going to take you to my house. I want to show you something. I'm like, okay.
No way.
So we got in, went to his house, and he actually lived in an apartment. And I remember going in there, and his wife, he had a wife and a little kid. And he brought us in, and he's like, hey, honey, the missionaries are going to stay for dinner tonight. And, of course, wife and little kid, she's thinking, what did you just do to me, you jerk, or whatever. But anyways, he's like, guys, I got to show you something. And we're like, okay. And I remember he had the stereo system. And back in the day, we don't do this anymore, but back in the day, the stereo system was like the centerpiece of your living room. You had big old speakers, and you had the console, multi-shelves level of the, console. And he said, have you ever heard a compact disc before? And this was brand new. We had not, I was halfway through my mission. I never heard a compact disc. He goes, you have got to hear this. This is unbelievable. And he grabbed this little weird-looking case, which we know now is a CD case, and he pulled out a silver disc, and he stuck it in his stereo, and he cranked it. And now, this guy's, the speakers he had were approximately 4.5 to 5 feet tall,
yeah,
and about maybe 1.5 feet wide. These were two gigantic speakers. And now, mind you, we're in an apartment building. So he's in an apartment. And he cranks it up and he pushes play on that. And I hear this, I want my MTV. It was the beginning to Dire Straits' Money for Nothing. That Sting sings that little intro. And we're both just, you know, we're just mesmerized. We're like, this is unbelievable. And he had cranked it so loud that I remember the speakers were shaking and the light fixtures were rattling. And, you know, the guitar comes, you know, the guitar comes in. And it was so clear. It was like we were in the room with Dire Straits.
And you can hear it on like either side of the speakers. Scary.
Oh, yeah. It was unbelievable. And about maybe 30 seconds, 45 seconds into the song, the neighbor starts pounding, boom, 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 turn that crap down. I don't think he used the word crap, but he said, turn that down. And of course, the other missionary and I were just sitting there like, wow, this is so amazing.
Right.
And the guy was like, yeah, isn't this incredible? You love my stereo system. I got a CD player. And the neighbor's banging on the wall and the wife's in the kitchen trying to figure out what she's going to feed two hungry 19-year-olds. And it was a memorable experience.
That's awesome. I can't believe you got in the car with a stranger, though.
I know. We probably shouldn't have. But you know what? There's a certain invincibility when you're a missionary that you think you can. Well, nothing bad could ever happen to you.
Right.
And So, and that's the first time I ever heard a CD.
That's so cool. I like that story so much.
There's a line in that song, by the way, where he uses a slang word for a gay person.
Mm.
I don't know if you knew this. About four or five years ago, the LGBTQ community picketed and did a letter writing campaign and everything to get Dire Straits to change that line. They went through and remastered the song and cut that line out.
Really?
So if you listen to Money for Nothing from Dire Straits, any newer version in the last 5 years, it doesn't have that line in it. They cut it out. Because the guy, Mark Knopfler, who wrote the song, he said, it was not a slur. We weren't trying to offend those people. Mm-hmm. It was part of the narrative of what the song was about. The song is basically about a guy who works he's delivering microwave ovens and TVs and stuff.
Right.
And this rock star is making millions of dollars and gets any woman he wants because he's a rock star. So the whole song is about really just about that, about how he's a working schlub and they actually changed that song. So now if you go back and listen to it, it's different.
So I did hear one more thing that the LGBTQ community is offended by.
Mm-hmm.
There's this light lady and she has a shirt and it says LGBTQ. And then she's changed the meaning like with the words underneath it.
Okay.
And so it's legs, glutes, biceps, triceps, and quads. She's made it a workout shirt.
Nice.
And people are so mad at her.
Oh, yeah. That's not cool. How could you do that? You're destroying our culture.
Right. That's their acronym.
Anyway, now I want to go listen to Dire Straits, Money for Nothing.
You sang it really It was pretty impressive.
Not really, but yeah. By the way, worth mentioning, later on this year, in fact, in August, I am going on a river cruise through Morris Columbus Travel on the Rhine River. It starts in Amsterdam, Amsterdam, and then goes up the Rhine and ends up in Basel, Switzerland. And Morris Columbus has helped me. Now, I'm not getting it free. In fact, it's far from free. But I am getting a discount. But they're hoping that, because I'm going, some of the people that want to hang out with me, I don't know who that would be, but maybe Mello, my wife is going, would also want to do this trip. So, and that's August 1st. And you just need to call Morris Columbus Travel and ask about it and get signed up. They have... the cheaper cabins are sold, but all the balcony cabins are still, not all, many of the balcony cabins are still available. So it's going to be a lot of fun. That is August 1st. It's an 8-day cruise in Europe. I have never been to Europe. I've never been to Switzerland or Amsterdam or any of those places. So
how exciting.
It'll be interesting to see.
I've heard river cruises are fun.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's a different experience. Most people have been on an ocean cruise. And you have the giant casinos and you have the big, you know, an arena basically where they put on these big shows and they have you know, these gigantic buffets and stuff. And I've heard that a river cruise, there's only, I think, 140 people or something on the entire ship. It's a very different experience, but a very good experience. So, yeah, looking forward to that. All right, got a commercial break coming up here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how to create relationships that last, especially among your family members. I know you have some sisters. Maybe talk a little bit about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
949, if you want to call 673-5890 is the phone number. If you want to text 467-5842 is the phone number to text the text line. They're both 435 area codes. Mel, I thought this was funny. This was on the wire this morning. There's a new perfume out. Does it smell like lilacs? No. Does it smell like vanilla or cinnamon? No. It smells like French fries. I'm not even joking.
Really?
A new perfume that smells like French fries. How romantic is that?
I don't know. I've heard of chapstick that tastes like barbecue chicken. I've heard of, they like have all sorts of different things they're doing with scents. Maybe it makes you appealing to a teenage boy. I don't know. That's weird.
I don't know. But speaking of chicken, they have not paid me at all or anything. I went down to Houston Hot Chicken yesterday with my sister and her husband and my wife and my dad. And, it wasn't yesterday, it was Wednesday. But anyway, do not, under any circumstance, unless you are a fire breather, order the spicy chicken. I like spicy. I really do. I'm a spicy guy. I dig spicy. I like spicy Mexican food. But their spicy chicken, oh my gosh, I couldn't eat it. I ordered a 3-piece spicy chicken meal. I got halfway through one of the pieces and finally cried mercy.
Wow.
I mean, my eyes were watering. My mouth obviously was burning. My nostrils, the inside of my nose was on fire. That, not literally, but that's how hot this chicken was. Now, I'm going to follow this up by saying they do have other flavors. They have the mild, you know, they have like honey butter and they have mild and they have, I'm just saying, and I told a guy as I was walking, a guy came in with his wife and kids. I told the guy, I said, you like spicy? He goes, yeah. And I said, don't order the spicy. Order the mild. The mild is spicy. The spicy is spicy, spicy, spicy. Like, it is brutal. And to the point where we ordered a milkshake with it. So, you know, milk usually puts out the fire.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Really?
I mean, it was so... And an hour later, I'm sitting at home, and it's still burning. I mean, it was bad. And,
I'm
and
glad
so,
you told me that, because I would have ordered the spicy.
Don't do it.
I love spicy.
Oh, you won't love this. I'm sorry. Maybe you will. Again, it's a personal thing, right? Okay, mm-hmm. How spicy you like it. I'm just telling you that the spicy version of the Houston Hot Chicken is hot.
It's warning you in the title. It says Houston Hot Chicken.
Well, I know. And actually, when I ordered it, the kid at the counter said, just so you know, this is made with habaneros and it's really hot. And I was like, yeah, whatever, kid. You know,
I'm a man.
Yeah. I was like, come on, kid. You're warning me about hot. I'm 58 years old. I know hot. You can't... I got it, and I was, yeah.
No. So people can't return it because they've already warned them. They're like, we told you it was hot.
Yeah. They actually were really nice. They brought me some other chicken that wasn't as spicy. Did not charge me any more for the replacement chicken. And, you know, obviously they couldn't resell the hot chicken. but that's really cool. And honestly, I told my brother-in-law that I was there with. I said, you know, this is the difference between me wanting to come back to a place or not. If they'll step forward and say, you know what, it's too hot for you. You probably didn't realize how hot it was going to be. Here's some other chicken that's not hot. That was awesome.
That's so nice.
That is customer service. That is something you don't get a lot in today's modern age.
Yeah, so, I'm going to have to check it out. I do want to go try that place.
And I will tell you, you know, the idea that, that cost them the price of a meal. It did probably cost them some money, but now I will go back there. multiple times and spend a lot more money than that just that one meal it cost him. So
and tell all of your friends.
And I will tell all my friends not to get spicy, though. I will tell them that. my dad ordered the mild, and it was spicy, but it wasn't so spicy you couldn't eat it. So, you know, I mean, I make chili with ghost chili in it. I make spicy stuff. I like spicy stuff. This was next level spicy. It really was.
That's way out of my league.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. By the way, Sunday is St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. Named for the patron saint of Ireland, March 17th is the day St. Patrick is believed to have died around 490 A.D. There are many legends about him, including that he drove snakes out of Ireland and used the shamrock to explain the Trinity. Ireland came to celebrate his day with religious services and feasts. But the holiday, St. Patrick's Day, was actually started in America.
A bar?
Boston, Massachusetts. The very first one was in Boston, Massachusetts. They held a St. Patrick's Day parade in 1737, followed by, and I guess you, if you have horses in the parade in 1737, it's because you didn't have any choice. They didn't have anything else. But New York held one in 1762. That was 25 years. They were like, you know, on this thing I'm reading, it's like, yeah, right afterward, New York, that was 25 years later. That's not right after. Anyway, many cities across the country joined in the tradition, including Chicago, which has been dyeing its river green since 1962.
Okay, so here's a question, and I don't know the answer.
Okay.
Why did people start pinching if you don't wear green, and why wear green? Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Because I always pinch people on St. Patrick's Day. It's one of my favorite things to do. I don't tell my kids the night before, and then I pinch them in the morning.
That is mean.
I know.
That is cruel.
I know. I like to, though.
I think April Fool's Day coming up is they actually are off of school
day
too, so there won't be any pranking at school.
It'll be all at home. I'm not looking forward to that.
I don't know where the pinching came from. Maybe somebody out there has some more information on that. What works best? This is from Rob. He texted me. He said, "What works best to get spicy out of your mouth better than milk? It's actually celery.
Oh.
So order a side of celery with your spicy." So the chicken pieces came with a slice of pickle in between each one. It came on this big, long skewer with a slice of pickle between each one. And my wife did not have any of the chicken. She doesn't like spicy. She had one of the pickles, though, and she was angry at me. She's like, "Why did you order it?" And honestly, I really didn't think it would be that spicy. I learned my lesson the hard way. So thank you, Rob, for the recommendation. Celery. I never thought of that.
Oh, I just read something about the folklore of St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, yeah.
You get pinched on St. Patrick's Day for not wearing green because green makes you invisible to leprechauns.
Nuh-uh.
They are mischievous creatures, and according to legend, they like to pinch people because they can. So I'm part leprechaun, apparently.
Green makes you invisible?
To leprechauns.
To leprechauns.
There you go.
Huh. The things you learn on the Andy Griffin Show. Things you couldn't possibly ever need. Hey, I got 4 minutes or 3 minutes. I'm going to get real quickly talk about sibling relationships. This is a cool article on psychologies.co.uk. So is it written in England? But it's about the different kind of relationships we have with our siblings. I'm going to go through them real quickly. The chinks in the armor siblings are where you've had fallouts, but you've somehow come together. I remember when I was, our girls were little. They used to fight a lot. Little girls do that. You know, 4 and 6, they were 2 years apart, 3 and 5, 7 and 9, whatever. And we told them, someday you two are going to be the best of friends. They didn't believe us. They're like, "Nah, that's not going to." They're actually really good friends right now. So that's cool. The by-proxy siblings. You wish you were closer, but are afraid to raise the subject of your difficult relationship with your sibling. Okay. The cool civility siblings. You talk or text or email fairly often, but there's a lack of intimacy. You wouldn't really share anything close with them. The going through the motions siblings, I think I have a couple of those. You can imagine what that's about. The weddings and funeral siblings, I'll see you next time someone gets married or something like that. And then the total alienation siblings. Now, how many siblings do you have, Mila?
I have 4. One's passed away.
Okay, so you have 3 living siblings. Mm-hmm. How is do any of the relationships fit into what we just talked about?
All 3 of them. I have one that I'm civil with and I talk to, text on his birthday. Mm-hmm. One that I'm super, super close with. And then my little sister, who's only 18 months younger than me, got really mad about my dad's birthday and hasn't talked to me really since.
Really? How long ago was that?
September.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's done this before. She didn't talk to me for a year before. So it's her, not me, and I can live with that.
I am known in the family as the mellow guy. And you're the mellow girl, but I'm the mellow guy but for a different reason. It's not my name, but I'm pretty chill about stuff. I don't, you know, and I remember one time my brother asking me, why aren't you upset about this? Why are you so mellow? I'm like, I don't know. I just am. That's just my personality.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Even though my little sister and I sometimes disagree on things politically, we're both pretty, I'm pretty chill and she's pretty chill most of so okay I'm
so
pretty
it works
chill
out
yeah
because you ignore the problem
so I do have a sibling that's passed away.